One footnote I forgot to make is, if there are young children here who could, for the parents that are here that would understand everything I'm saying, today's theme is very adult in its content. Just to warn you, so if you do have people like children under the age of high school, I would probably recommend that you take them out or something. My apologies. This is, I forgot to make this announcement in the morning service, and there were more than normal. There were so many children there this morning. And so this is going to be a bit heavy, but very adult in its content. So that's my last warning. So yeah, my apologies for that, that we couldn't let you know ahead of time. This is kind of how God led things in the preparation of this week. Well, there was a man who went to this department store to return an item that he bought there not too long ago. So he went to the customer service center, and he was the only one there. And also the worker at the department store, he was also the only one there. And so the customer asked, you know, I'd like to return this item. Could you help me? To which the worker replied, you know, I'm sorry, you need to take a number first. And so the customer looks around and nobody else was there. And he's like, no one else is here. Can you please help me? And the worker replied, I'm sorry, that's the policy I have to follow. Take a number and then I can help you once your number is called. So the customer was like, okay. And so he takes a number and his number happened to be 20. And so the worker looks at the counter, presses the number, and it's number 15. He goes, 15? Number 15. And the customer is looking around and is like, no one else is here. He's like, and he's showing him, I have 20. And then the worker's like, presses it again. 16, number 16. 17, number 17. 18, number 18. 19, number 19. And then finally, 20. 20. And the customer comes forward. Yes, number 20, can I help you? To which the customer replied, no. And he walks away. Even though policy was to go by the numbers, the ultimate purpose was customer service. The heart of serving customers was replaced by the law or the legalism of taking numbers. Legalism like that can destroy a company. If that happened to you, if that happened to me, I wouldn't go back. Legalism like that can destroy a church and can destroy a faith journey. That was the challenge that the churches in Galatia faced in the early stages of their church's history. The joy and freedom of grace was being snuffed out by the law of legalism. For Christ set us free from the law of sin and death to enjoy life in Him. So with that, we begin a new series today that will, Lord willing, take us to the end of the year, to probably to Christmas. And we'll go through Paul's letter to the churches in Galatia, which is also called the book or the letters to the Galatians. The series will be called Freedom from Within. And this will be our final Freedom series to cap off this amazing year of freedom that God has given to us. Now, this letter by Paul to the Galatian churches is his most aggressive. All of his other letters, they either have a blessing to the churches or some sort of thanksgiving for them. This does not have either of those. He has an agenda. He has a mission, and he's going to get to the point. Most of this letter is a strong form of correction. It is filled with rebuke, seeking to correct a lot of the legalism that has crept into this church. So this rebuking letter is the thrust of this message. But we have to realize and remember, rebuke is not a bad thing. In our day and age, people don't like to be rebuked. accepts people who come to OEM because you guys endure through it week after week. So thank you for that. But most people, they don't like to be rebuked. They think it's gonna turn people off. That's for people in the olden days, the hellfire and brimstone preachers, the turn and burn preachers. But this whole letter, in essence, is a rebuke. And rebuke is not bad when received humbly and for our godliness. Psalm 141:5 says, "Let a righteous man strike me, it is a kindness. Let him rebuke me, it is oil for my head." When the humble receive a rebuke, it is an anointing that can change a life. But before we get to the issues that Paul addresses in Galatia, Paul does begin with an introduction to this letter, and he begins with a blessing, but it's not a blessing to them. It is a blessing to God for the blessings that he has given those who are in Christ. And he begins with the reminder of the blessings that we do have because of Christ crucified. And that's where we will begin today. What are those blessings of Christ crucified? What are those blessings that we receive when we turn our faith to him? That's what we'll explore today. So I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 1, and we'll be looking at verses 1 to 5 today as we begin our journey through Galatians. Follow along also with me in your outlines. So, the first blessing that Paul outlines that we gain because of Christ crucified is that we receive our assignments. So everybody repeat, we receive our assignments. Okay, so Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me to the churches of Galatia. Paul identifies himself here in the opening part of the letter as an apostle, which means one who is sent, a sent one. So to be an apostle back then, especially the original, one needed to have seen Jesus Christ and have been sent out, commissioned by him. This was another major theme of the letter. People were questioning the authority and the leadership of Paul. And these false teachers that were creeping in and influencing the church in Galatia, they influenced the churches to doubt Paul's leadership and especially his gospel message. They were trying to discredit Paul, telling them they needed to first be circumcised and be a good Jew first before being a Christian. They were basically saying, you know what? You claim to be followers of Jesus. You know what? Jesus was a Jew. And so if you really want to be a good follower of Jesus, you need to be a good Jew first. And so they were putting a lot of legalistic law from the Old Covenant on their heavy shoulders, saying you had to be circumcised, you had to do this, you had to do that if you really wanted to consider yourself a follower of Jesus. And then they would claim, no, but Paul told us that we're saved by grace, that it's not by the things that we do. And so then these false teachers would try to discredit Paul, saying that he doesn't know what he's talking about. He wasn't originally commissioned by Jerusalem. Because we all know Jerusalem is where it all is at. That is the headquarters for where true Jewish faith originates. So come on. And so they're trying to do all these things to discredit Paul. And so much of this letter later on will be in response to both his authority as an apostle, but also the legalistic bondage that these people were placing on the Christians, the Gentile Christians, in Galatia. So here, more than at any other time, Paul emphasizes his calling that he received directly from Christ, that Christ commissioned him. Look at verse 1 again. It says, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through who? Through Jesus Christ. He said, I received my calling directly through Christ and God the Father. It wasn't through a man. It wasn't through a committee. It wasn't through an ordination board that I got my calling. Jesus Christ commissioned me directly. He is reminding them of his call while on the road to Damascus. Then he says this, through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And so very early on, he is pointing to the resurrection from the very start of his introduction of this letter. Why? The point of referring to the resurrection so early in this letter is to stress that the resurrection of Christ is what signified this new age in redemption history. The old law of the Mosaic covenant is now fulfilled in Christ. It is not about our working for God. It was about God's work completed through Christ for us, through the cross. So he is pointing to the cross of Christ even now before addressing any of the other false teaching, because he wants to remind them the cross and the resurrection is central and all that it represents. Now, for us, the application, at least for this section, while we do not have to prove our position like Paul did, the call we have is because of Christ. It is because of Christ crucified that we have our assignment today. Our authority as preachers of the gospel to our family, to our workplace, to the city, our calling as disciple makers through all the nations of the world, our identity as sons and daughters of the King. All that we are after faith in Christ is all because of Christ crucified. So that is a great blessing. If you have never placed your trust in Christ, today is a great day to do so, because there are great benefits and blessings that a life receives because of faith in Christ. The resurrection of Christ changes everything. Time is changed from BC to AD. Death is changed from a master to a servant. Eternity is changed for souls to rest with the Savior. Everything changes because Jesus rose from the grave. So we have a new life and a new purpose because of Jesus. We live for Him and all for the glory of His name. The assignment that we gain because of Christ's resurrection, that is a great blessing and honor that we receive. So that's the first blessing that Paul highlights. The second blessing that we receive because of Christ crucified is that we receive our atonement. So everybody repeat, we receive our atonement. Let's look at verse 3 and the beginning of verse 4. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. And that's the phrase that we'll focus on for this moment. Who gave himself for our sins. So he begins by saying there is a grace and peace that are ours from God the Father and God the Son. And Jesus is the one who gave himself for our sins. This atonement of Christ simply means that Christ made amends for, to make amends for. That's the ultimate definition of atonement. You see, because of our sin, sin separates us from God. Because of our sin, it created a lot of problems for us between God and for eternity. There's a lot of problems that we had to deal with. First of all, there is God's wrath. Where there is sin, it draws God's righteous wrath. So as long as there is sin somewhere, eventually the wrath of God will be there. Also, our sin created the problem of God's righteous punishment. For him to be righteous and just, if there is an offense, he needs to deal righteously to punish that offense. And also, there was the issue of eternal death and separation in hell because of sin. But Jesus Christ came to take care of all of that for us. So when Paul says in verse 4 how Jesus gave himself for our sins, he is reminding them of the blessings of the crucified Christ. That Jesus Christ came to absorb all the wrath of God on himself. He took the punishment and pain that should have been mine, and instead, he gave me a right standing. He took my death and damnation in hell. He gave me his righteousness and his place of dwelling. His home is now our home. These are the blessings of Christ crucified. And we need to pause for a moment and to realize the significance of this. So because Christ died and rose again, we have a new assignment. You and I, who are in Christ, have been given a crucial assignment. You are alive still because your assignment is not yet completed. The assignment that God has given to each of you is to be a messenger of God's grace and to make disciples of all nations. Amen? That's important for you to understand. Before we could move on to our third point here, you need to understand that premise here. Why Paul begins there. We must understand that if we are in Christ and alive, there is a blessed honor that has been given to us of our assignments to declare grace, declare gospel, and to make disciples. Beginning with where God has placed us in Korea. So that is our calling here in Korea. Amen? Amen? That is our calling here. That is our assignments. But that overflows also from the fact that we have been given the gift of atonement. That we don't have to live in fear of condemnation. We don't have to live in fear for the wrath of God against our sins. Because Jesus Christ became the bearer of our sin, the bearer of our wrath, and the bearer of our punishments. So we are now free from condemnation. Amen? So that's another blessing. Now, with those two under our belt as our foundation, now we can more clearly understand the significance of what I will unpack now for the third point. So the blessings we gain through Christ crucified is that we receive our assignments, we receive our atonements, and also we receive our abolition, our freedom. Everybody repeat, we receive our abolition. This is important for us to understand. Verse 3 to 5. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from what? This present evil age. According to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So, one of the reasons why Jesus gave himself for our sins, the reason why he took our pain, our punishments, and our sins, the reason why he gave himself for our sins, one of them, was to deliver us from this present evil age. There is a power in this world that cannot be overcome apart from Jesus Christ. Did you understand that? There is a power in this world that will bind people, that will chain people, that will destroy people. There is a power in this world that you cannot overcome by yourself. There is a power in this world that can only be overcome through Jesus Christ. Jesus came to set us free from that power. Abolition is a term connected with the ending of slavery. Those who fight for the freedom of those enslaved are called abolitionists. Jesus Christ is our great abolitionist. So the blessing we receive through Christ crucified is our freedom from slavery, from sin, but also from the power of this present darkness. There's a power in this present age that will bind and blind us that only Jesus can save us from. Look at Romans 6, 22 and 23. It says, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the only way people can truly be set free. So this is our blessing. This is our message, and this is our assignment to bring to this nation of Korea and the nations of the world. God has called you to this nation of Korea. All of you are living here right now. All of you are here for a certain season of your life. Under God's sovereignty, God has already saved you if you have given your life to Christ, and He has given you an assignment because you are saved through the atoning sacrifice of Christ. You have an assignment for this nation. God has given you an assignment to declare grace and to make disciples in Korea while you are here. Amen? Part of that assignment is connected to the fact that there is a darkness in this world that is also too strong for Korea to handle apart from Christ. Therefore, His people have been saved, set apart, and sent out to this nation to declare liberty and freedom that only the gospel of Jesus Christ can bring. You're following all that? That is part of the honor, that is part of the calling that we have in this country, in this season of lives, in the season of our lives for such a time as this. Because this present evil age is seeking to destroy this nation. And only the gospel can set Korea free, which means only those who know the gospel can bring true abolition and freedom to this country. That is your assignment from God to this country in this season of your life. This nation is under attack. From the unborn to the elderly, Satan is working hard, very hard, to kill off this nation. We have one of the highest abortion rates in the world, with an estimation of 350,000 abortions per year. Now realize abortion is technically illegal in this country. But in 2007, estimates have the abortion number in Korea at 1.7 million. Suicides are now the top cause of death for Koreans in their 20s. They have yet to hit even the prime of their lives yet. And now suicide is the top cause of death for this country. And the elderly in this country are now among the growing group choosing to die this way. As family members do not visit them, as society disrespects them, they no longer see it as a blessing to live over 70 anymore. This beautiful part of Korean culture that once honored and respected the elderly is quickly eroding. We must restore honor back to this nation. Amen. So I encourage you, whether you are Korean or not, display honor to the elderly in this nation. On the buses, in the trains, on the streets, show Korea what honoring the elderly looks like again. And we'll be starting up our nursing home ministries with greater strength and force in the coming weeks. So please be on the lookout for that announcement too. Families are also under attack. As of last month, there are now over 1.2 million divorced households within this country. A 40% increase from 5 years ago, 18-fold increase from 30 years ago. And again, the elderly are also seeing sharp increases in divorces as well. Now, realize, though we have one of the highest abortion rates in the world, we have, technically, we are tied for the lowest birth rates in the world. But if we did not kill off these babies through abortion, we'd be up there with one of the highest birth rates in the world. The enemy is working hard to kill off this nation. We need to pray for this nation and bring the gospel to them. Because Jesus Christ came to deliver us from this present evil age. Amen? There is a strong spirit of lust, of greed, despair, selfishness that is binding this nation. They need Jesus, our great abolitionist, to set them free. And as I've been praying for Korea and about these issues, I feel led as a ministry and as a church that in the coming days, months, years ahead, for us to focus our energies on three areas that Satan is attacking, and for us to turn the tide in these three areas. So if you're taking notes or if you call OEM your home, I especially want you to write these down and pray about these issues for Korea. These are the three areas that I feel OEM, we need to turn the tide in. The first area is abortion. Second area is adoption. Third area is abolition. So everybody repeat, abortion, adoption, abolition. We will focus our energies on turning the tide of these three areas in this country. We have already begun momentum to see the tide turning, obviously, as you know, in the abolition, and now with the adoption, and we'll focus on abortion as well. I declare we will, as a church, turn the tide and not allow Satan to call the shots in these areas anymore for our country. We will do more prayer walks around clinics that do these illegal abortions in the coming months ahead to fight for the lives that cannot fight for themselves. And we will pray for the establishment of more crisis pregnancy centers throughout this country in the coming months and years ahead. For adoption, we had a great meeting last Monday night to inform expats of the legal process for adoption while in Korea. We had about 60 people show up, which was awesome. And I believe that this is a new movement that will change the condition for the homeless children of this world. That is who they are. They are homeless. I want the expat community to lead the way to show the Korean church the beauty and glory of adoption as a visible expression of the gospel. And for abolition, we will continue to fight to bring an end to human and sex trafficking in Korea. We will fight until every captive has been set free, until this nation is a zero tolerance nation. Amen? And so we will pursue these areas. And now you, if the children are still here, this would be the time to remove them. You probably have been wondering so far, that doesn't seem too adult message-y so far. Now I want to address all the parents out there and future parents that are here who may be thinking, which I've had some conversation with some of the parents of our ministry, saying this to me, Eddie, you know, I appreciate all that you and OEM are doing to fight human and sex trafficking and all that stuff like that. And, you know, that's noble. That's great. That's, you guys could keep doing that. But you know what? I got a family. I got kids. That's got nothing to do with my world. So, you know, just keep going, okay? So I want to address that potential mentality for a moment here. Because if you have young children, this fight that we are doing for the freedom of the enslaved, for human trafficking and sex trafficking, if you have young children, it has a lot to do with you. Let me explain. Fact number one, Korea is the most online country in the world. From the oldest Korean to the youngest, they are online. The most highest percentage by far than any other country in the world. Keep that as a footnote. We are the most wired. Fact number two. Korea spends the most money per capita on pornography than any other country in the world. The U.S. Weekly reported recently that Koreans spend on average $527 per person. If you did a head count and broke the average of the billions of dollars that are spent in this country alone, if you divided up the billions of dollars that are spent on pornography in this country by the, 50 to plus million people that populate this country, that's about $527 per person. Number two is Japan with 157. The U.S. was not even in the top five. 50% of Koreans, one in two, buy pornography through their smartphones. We're the most online country in the world. We probably have the most smartphones in the world. And through it, we buy the most pornography in the world. Now realize, it's not just adults I'm talking about here. Children have access to internet. Children have smartphones that have access to the internet. This country is starting to see a very serious epidemic, if not pandemic, of pornography addiction. Children as young as 8 years old in this country are becoming addicted to pornography. There was a police raid in a local elementary school in Seoul, Korea recently. They found out that there is a massive influx of distribution of pornography that was happening through this elementary school. So they went and raided, they set up a sting, they raided this computer lab to find out if it was a teacher, a principal, who was distributing pornography at such a high rate in this elementary school. The culprit, a 9-year-old boy. He was distributing pornography to all of his classmates through a peer-to-peer website, through a school system. With the increase, staggering, skyrocketing increase of internet use, the same parallel increase we are seeing, a skyrocketing amount of pornography being viewed and being addicted to in this country. And this another stat that you need to be aware of, not just the internet use and the pornography use, there has been the same level percentage increase of sexually violent crimes that has happened as a result for every age category in this country. Elderly, middle age, adults, children. The sexually violent crimes has seen an increase of more than 44% just within the last 2 years. You see, the seeds of sexual immorality grow into weeds of wickedness and perversion. What makes a 65-year-old man from the United States fly all the way to Cambodia to buy sex from a 5-year-old boy? Does the long flight turn a regular, suburban, elderly man in the suburbs of the U.S. into a perverted man because of a long flight? No. Of all the interviews that police and rescue and restoration ministries have had, all the interviews that they've had with perpetrators, customers, and violators of sex trafficking, especially of young children, 100% of them got hooked on porn as a young child. 100% of them. From stumbling upon pornography that their dad was hiding in their home. From stumbling upon these websites that their older brother or older friends in their schools showed them in the classrooms or playgrounds of their schools. Porn can turn a young boy addicted to pornography into an old man addicted to greater perversions. Because another horrific thing that we learned in all of these interviews was that because they got addicted at such a young age, they needed something new and fresh to satisfy their lustful appetites. Because suddenly, the same magazines and websites would not suffice any longer. And that created a greater addiction for greater perversions. It's happening in Korea, it's happening in the U.S., it's happening in every country around the world. And if we do not do something about it now, in 30 years, this will be a grotesquely perverted nation. So the searing of our conscience, the warping of the mind, the uncontrollable lust of the flesh is the result of years of feeding the flesh. It creates the demand for pornography. It creates the demand for prostitution, which creates the demand for sex trafficking of innocent victims all around the world. And this sobering reminder, if you did not hear it before, that South Korean women are the number one trafficked group into the United States. If we do nothing about this horrific issue in our lifetime, there is a dark future that we are leaving our children and our grandchildren. So going back to all the parents who think, Eddie, that's nice that you're doing all the stuff for trafficking, but I'm a family man now. Sorry, can't help you. It's not my issue. You could do that. To all the families that are out there, this has everything to do with you. We are fighting for the world that your children and grandchildren will be raised in. We are fighting for the purity, the morality, the integrity of the world that we will be leaving as an inheritance to our children, our grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren. It has everything to do with you. You see, the perversions and violence will only increase unless the gospel is preached. So parents, teachers, and every Christian in this place, you have a crucial role to play in the shaping and discipling of the youth of this nation. Now let's go back a little bit to last week's message on the blessing of Korea on missions work around the world. How is it that Korea is the number two mission sending force in the world, has the largest church in the world, has the largest churches from every major denomination in the world here in this country, churches on every corner of this nation. And yet, we have the highest suicide rates, abortion rates, divorce rates in Asia, the most pornography purchased, the most sex trafficking going on for a developed country in Asia. Is that not a contradiction? It reveals a couple things. One negative, one positive. Let me share with you what I believe they are. It reveals, first of all, on a negative stance. It is telling us that something is seriously wrong with the state of the church in Korea in terms of its integrity, its purity, its humility, and its understanding of how the gospel needs to influence our life, our family, and our society. But on a positive note, it tells me that God has a great destiny for this nation. Satan knows it. He sees this anointing and wants to kill it. The church is to be light and salt, influencers of society, culture, music, and entertainment. We are to shape the world, not let the world shape us. But we have bought into the world's value systems of having money, comfort, clothes, and image as our highest goals to attain. They are our idols. But there is a great destiny that awaits for this nation, I believe. And I believe that God is looking for a faithful remnant who will fight for the passions of his heart. God is calling forth a people set apart in this hour. He is calling for a people who will not give in to the value system of this world. He is calling for a people who will not settle for apathy towards injustice. He is calling for a people who will no longer live for selfishness, but live for the glory of God by sacrificial service to others. This is the thing that gripped me this week. God is calling a people in this hour who will fight for a nation and for a generation. Joongang Daily newspaper, just yesterday I read, two Korean teenage girls imprisoned and prostituted, meaning sold for sex, a 12-year-old girl to two old men. She was enslaved for 2 days in a motel until they ran out of money, to which they brought the 12-year-old to one of the girls' homes. And while the two captors were falling asleep, this 12-year-old grabbed the cell phone, called her dad, and her dad came to pick her up. Now, why? Why would two Korean teenage girls do such a horrific thing to a 12-year-old girl? What was the rationale? Their rationale after being interviewed was this. They needed money to pay for their hair extensions. We are now seeing the fruits of years of idolatry that were planted by past generations. We are now seeing the results of the seeds of idolatry, of lust, of greed, of immorality that have been planted by past generations that are now destroying the youth of today. The seeds have now turned into weeds. This generation is under severe attack by the enemy. Who will fight for them? Who will stand for this generation in prayer? Who will bring the life-saving, liberating message of the gospel to them? We, the church, must fight. We must fight for a nation. We must fight for a generation. Now, more than ever, we must break out of complacency of our pitiful Christian discipleship. God is looking for people who will fight for this nation. And not let Satan steal it. I do not want to leave the evils and injustices of this current condition as an inheritance for my children or grandchildren. I will not just stand by and let the enemy steal, kill, and destroy this generation any longer. We must rise up in courage. We must rise up in prayer, repent, and intercede for this nation. We must join in the fight with Hope Be Restored, Exodus Cry, Not For Sale Korea, and others to do our part in raising awareness and setting captives free. Come to these meetings. Do you know how rare it is for a church to have a justice ministry like this? Only a handful in this world have it. Join this fight in this rare hour. There is no other epic battle that this generation has ever seen in our lifetime before. This is an epic battle that requires epic courage, that will require epic disciples of Christ who understand the cost of sacrifice in laying down our lives for our fellow brothers and sisters. Yes, these are dark, evil days that we are in, but Jesus Christ came to deliver us from this present evil age. Hallelujah. He is greater, He is stronger, and He has already won. The blessing they need is the freedom and restoration, the dignity and honor that only the crucified Christ can give to them. That is why Paul ends this introductory greeting in verse 5 by saying, "To whom be the glory forever and ever," because Jesus is our great abolitionist. He can bring freedom, and He will bring freedom because He has already won it through the cross that He rose from. He won this war for us. Praise God and all glory to Him. But we must go out there and claim the victory Jesus won on our behalf. This nation needs Jesus. We don't have time to play make-believe Christianity anymore. We don't have time for it. There are over 20 possibly 100 million people in this world that are enslaved today. We don't have time to play around on our PlayStations anymore. Too much is at stake here. A generation is at stake here. It's time to pray and fast for Korea. Join us on Wednesdays if you do not know a day, if you don't know what day to pick, join our staff on Wednesdays. It's time to get into the Word. It's time to bring the Word into the world. It's time to share the gospel. It's time to live the gospel. It's time to take back what is rightfully ours because of the blood of Christ. Psalm 2 says, "Ask of me and I will give the nations as your inheritance." This tells me this truth. The nations belong to those who pray for them. They are our inheritance. Korea does not belong to the enemy. Korea's destiny is not for suicide, abortion, divorce, and enslavement. Korea does not belong to the enemy. It belongs to the church that will pray for it. It belongs to Jesus who died for it. And we need a people who will fight for this nation. Let us fight for this nation. Let us fight for this generation. And let's take it back in Jesus' name. You need to understand, so many countries throughout Europe has already been stolen. They were once the primary missions movement in the world. They were the ones who impacted the world through solid theology and faithful missions. But as you are well aware, most of Europe is post-Christian secularized right now. We are seeing the same pattern happen right now in North America. Though it is currently the number one mission-sending movement country in the world, you also know it is slowly becoming post-Christian and secularized. And now we're starting to see the beginning signs of that potential stealing for this nation that is the number two mission-sending country in the world. I will not stand idly by and let that happen. It will take the church in this generation, in this hour, who understand the blessed atonements, forgiveness that are ours, that come with a blessed sacred assignment to go forth, declaring the blessed message of abolition, abolition that Jesus Christ came to set every captive free. It will take people who live the gospel, who will fight for this nation and fight for a generation, to see the proper inheritance for Korea to be realized. And that is for this nation to go from glory to glory. We must fight, people of God, for this nation. We must fight for this generation and leave behind a blessed inheritance for future generations. Amen. Let's pray.